three things I want to take from this passage of scripture. The first thing is the treasure. The treasure. The second thing is the excellency of the power. And then the third thing is the earthen vessel. The treasure, the excellency of the power, and the earthen vessel. We'll leave with you a title. God, you really trust me with this? God, you really trust me with this?
My God. Good, good, good. Good question.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We praise you, God. We glorify you. We pray, Father, that you will have your way, God. Decrease me and you increase as your word goes forth. Pray, God, that you will continue to move on the altars of the hearts of your people, Lord God, that as they hear your word, they will receive it, God, in the spirit that it has been given. And we thank you, God, in advance for what your word will do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. God, do you really trust me with this? Do you really trust me with this, God? Have you ever had someone give you something that was valuable, something that was expensive, and tell you to hold on to this until whenever? Don't lose it. Keep it. Make sure you keep this and put it in a safe place. Have you ever had somebody say that to you? And how many times do we start feeling right away that we are not capable of doing this, because whatever this is, it's really not something that I want to have in my possession, because I don't know if I'm going to be able to do what I need to do to keep this thing safe.
My God.
And sometimes we can feel that way. Sometimes we can get to a place where we don't want to hold anybody else's valuables. Isn't that right?
My God.
And, but God, we ask the question to God, God, do you trust me with this? The scripture lets us know that Paul was preaching to a people at a time when they were trying to get saved by keeping Old Testament laws. And Paul knew that, you know, the scripture said, he says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, he knew that he had something special that he was carrying inside of him that would be able to help the people, would be able to show the people that, no, that is not true. It's only through Jesus Christ that you can have eternal life. But how many of us know that some of us don't understand it, that we don't have to work our way to salvation? Hallelujah. See, some of us think that we have to do this and do that, and some of us think that, you know, we have to be this kind of person. We got to be nice. We got to be kind. Yeah, we got to be nice and got to be kind, and we have to do this. And sometimes you may go to a home-going service, and all you hear is that the person was a nice person and all that, but you never hear that they accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And that says that they are not going to have eternal life because they have not gone the way that God planned for them to go.
My God.
And so we have to understand that, you know, it's not about our works. It's not about how we govern ourselves throughout the life that we can have eternal life. It's about Jesus the Christ, and it's about accepting him and knowing him as your Savior. And so Paul understood that he had this message within him. And so he even said in verse 7, he said, but we have this treasure. He called it a treasure. And many of us don't even realize that it is a treasure that we carry. That God lets it, he gave it to us to be able to give it to someone else. And it's a treasure. And we ought to treasure it like it's a treasure. A treasure is anything that's prized highly or regarded as special. A treasure is anything that is valuable. And God has given us the task to go forth and tell someone else that Jesus saves, and that this, you don't have to try to work your way to salvation, but all you have to do is realize that Jesus is the one. Treasure, treasure. The Message Bible says that the treasure could be also the precious message of salvation. We carry the precious message of salvation within us. Amen. And then, you know, the third chapter and verse 6 says that it's the New Testament ministry that we have, that we have within ourselves, the New Testament ministry. And what we have to know, that the scripture lets us know, if we read from, let's start from verse 4 in chapter 3 in 2 Corinthians. The scripture says, "And such trust have we through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also have made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life." And then it says, "But if the ministration of death written and engraved in stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly hold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? If the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which it was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is Amen. Glorious. Amen. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded until the day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. But nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. It means that trying to be saved by keeping the Old Testament laws ends in death. That's what the commentary says. And so only by believing in the Lord Jesus can a person receive eternal life through the Holy Spirit. So we got to understand that it's only in believing Jesus. And so, you know, they had people fighting and telling Paul that he was wrong, and false prophets coming and telling Paul that he was wrong for preaching the gospel and for preaching about what he knew was right, and what he knew, that God had come and he had done a new thing, where the people at one time, they had to use the law. The law they used every day, but the law was to show them their sins. The law was to let them know that you are sinning. The law was not to give them salvation. It was just to let them know that they were sinning, so that they could come and ask for forgiveness. But what we have to understand is that these people didn't want to let go of the law. They wanted to continue to, you know, to try to live by the laws. But the scripture lets us know that if you want to live by the law, and you decide that you want to live by the law, and you break one of those laws, then you have lost everything, because you have to be a person who can deal with all of the laws. And only Jesus Christ was the one who could deal with the laws and live upright before God. And so none of us would be righteous. None of us could be righteous with the law. And so Paul knew this, and Paul knew that he had something going on the inside of him. He knew that he had something precious. He knew that he had something valuable. He knew that he had a word inside of him that he had to get out to the people, because people were being told this lie. People were being told that they could get to heaven. By the law. And the law, you know, let me tell you, when Moses went up on that mountain, God himself wrote out the law with his handwriting. He wrote the law on the stones. He did that. And so we're not saying that you know, there's something wrong with the law. There's nothing wrong with the law. But God was showing the people what was to come. He was doing that to let the people know that something better is coming, that Jesus Christ is coming. And when he comes, I want you to be able to accept Jesus for who I say that he is and for what I tell him to do. And Jesus, when he came, he died so that the people could be free from the law. And so the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And so Paul said, therefore, we have this ministry. He said, as we have received mercy, we faint not. And Paul was saying, I'm not giving up on it. Because I got to let the people know, because if I don't say something, and somebody needs to understand, if you don't say something, if you don't open up your mouth, then people will be led down the wrong road. You must say something. You must speak out what you know and allow people to understand what the true meaning of the gospel is all about. Jesus the Christ is the only way.
My God.
Amen. So this is the New Testament ministry, the New Testament ministry. And the scripture lets us know that if we look at, let's start from verse 12, because let's look at the excellency of the power. Seeing then that we have such hope in verse 3, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end, that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their hearts. Now, let me just stop right there. Moses, when he went up to the mountain, Moses came back. When he went up to the mountain, he went up and he got the Ten Commandments from God. And he came back down off the mountain. He went back to tell the people what God had said. And when he got to the people, his face was so shine. It was glowing so much that the people could hardly look on Moses' face. When he came down, because Moses was face to face with God and he had been in the presence of God. Hallelujah. And so, you know, when he came down, the people looked at him and they were holding their eyes for the glory that was on Moses' face. And you know, I can only imagine what could have been going on at that time and how those people, you know, felt when Moses came down. And Moses began to talk about what God had said to him. But before he began to talk about it, he put a veil over his face. And Moses put the veil over his face not because of the fact that he was glowing so much, but he put a veil over his face because of the fact that his glory would begin to fade away, his glory on his face. And he didn't want the people to see that the glory was fading away. He needed to keep their attention. Because, you know, let me tell you something. When you see something that God has done, you know, your mind will stay on that until, you know, you see the glory of it fading away. God, and so Moses, he put the veil over his face because the glory would fade away. The longer Moses was away from God, the less glory was on his face. And how many of us know that we need to understand that we need to be in the presence of the Lord so that when we come out, people will begin to see the glory of the Lord shining from us and on us and through us. Sometimes we come and we're so cold, we haven't even talked to the Lord. We haven't even looked God's way. And people don't even know that God lives and he abides in you because you haven't even read his word. But Moses was in the presence of the Lord. And Moses was showing the people. He was telling the people. He was telling them what God had told him. God will speak to you when you get in his presence. Somebody needs to understand. He will speak to you. He will speak to you out of his word. He will speak to you. He will speak to you just in your dreams. God will speak to you when you get in his presence. He'll speak to you. So the scripture says, nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Talking about the Spirit of the Lord, because it is the Spirit of the Lord. It is the Lord's work that you know, we can't take any credit for what God is doing. God is the one who has the power behind all of this, and we can't take any credit. We got to understand that if anything is going to get done, it's going to get done by God. It's going to get done through His Holy Spirit. And we have to understand that it is the work of God's Spirit. That our conversion is a result of God implanting His Spirit in our hearts, giving us new power to live for Him. Hallelujah. And so the Spirit gives new life to all who believe in Christ. He is the one who, when our hearts are turned to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away.
Well,
and He empowers us to change. Verse 17 says, now the Lord is that Spirit. The Lord is that Spirit that we speak about. The Lord is that Spirit that we have, that lives inside of us. The Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You are free from trying to do all the things that you thought that you had to do. And some of us are in so much bondage thinking, oh my God, I got up this morning and I did something wrong. I said something wrong. I acted wrong. God, you know, and we got to keep going over and over and over and over asking God to forgive us because you think that you're not going to make it into heaven. How many of us know that God is not a God like that? God is not a God like that. He's a God of forgiveness. He's a God of love, of mercy, and we are in the dispensation of grace right now, and God loves us so much right now that we wouldn't even understand why He loves us so much right now, but He loves us so much that He's not looking at what we're doing. He just wants us to be like what the Word says. He says in verse 18, it says, we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And so He says, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass. You see, with Moses, he had to put a veil on. But see, with Jesus, we ain't got to put no veil on. How many of us know that? We all with open face. When we come to Him, we are face to face because of what God has done for us. We come to Him face to face. And the Bible says, like in a glass, the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The Lord begins to change us. That when we stay in His presence, when we stay in His presence, and when we get into His Word and get to understand what His Word is saying, and when we understand who He is, and when we begin to know, hallelujah, who He is, then the Lord begins to change us. We can't take any credit for what God has done. The Scripture says the excellency of the power of God. God has placed power within us that will work itself out of us if we begin to behold the face of the Lord. When we read this Word, when we go into God's Word and we understand who He is, we look at His Word and we begin to talk to Him and allow His Word to speak back to us. The Word of the Lord will begin to change us from glory to glory. We will begin to look more and more like Jesus. And then what happens is that takes all of our struggles out. We've been struggling so long to try to make this thing right. We've been struggling so hard trying to be right and trying to be the best and trying to do the best that we can. But the Bible tells us that all we got to do is go into His Word and believe Him and trust Him for what His Word says. I like what Paul said. He said, oh my God, I give up all of this stuff, whatever, all of what I know, all of what I have. And Paul had something to boast about. But Paul said, you know what, I'm not boasting about any of it because I give up all of this just to know Him, just to know who He is and just to understand Him. Because let me tell you something, when you get to know Him, hallelujah, when you get to understand who He is, well, then it is that you will begin to be like Paul and understand that you have something special that resides on the inside of you and that it is powerful. Paul said in his Word, he said, you know what, that I might know want to know him. See, I need to know why he apprehended me. Paul is looking at that thing. He said, I need to understand. Why did you apprehend me, God? I need to go in your word, and I need to understand you, God, and understand what it is that you're doing, God. And I need to understand what it is that you're saying to me, God, because I need to know you, God. I need to understand you, God. I need to understand what's going on in this world, God. God, I know you pulled me out of darkness into your marvelous light, God. But I don't understand why you pulled me out, God. And Paul said, I need to know him. I need to understand him. And I want to know him in the knowledge. Hallelujah. I need to understand him in the knowledge, hallelujah, of his resurrection. That's how Paul wanted to understand him. Paul said, I need to get in there, and I need to get it. I need to understand it. And then, you know, 2 Corinthians, if you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we'll see that Paul understood something about God's power. Oh, he understood something about God's power. When he said in verse, when we look at verse, let me see where I want to go. Verse 3, it says, 10:3, 2 Corinthians. Because these people were telling Paul, you know, they were talking to him and talking about him and telling him that, you know, Paul, you sent out all these letters to us, you know, these powerful letters, but then when we see you in person, you act like you don't have no power. You act like a little wimp, you know, when we see you in person. And Paul was like, oh, okay, all right, well, then let me just say something to you. He said, for though we walk in the flesh, he said, we do not war after the flesh. He said, we may walk in the flesh, but we don't war after the flesh. He said, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. He said, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Paul's showing them, I didn't come to fight you. I don't want to fight you physically. I don't want to fight you. I'm coming to you because of what I got on the inside of me. And you better know that the weapons of my warfare, they are not carnal. And my weapons, I don't come with swords and guns, and I don't come with my fists. I don't come to fight you, to come punch you in your face for what you said. I don't come to fight like that. Paul said, but I come, hallelujah. He said, the weapons of my warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God, hallelujah. He understood what he had on the inside of him. See, we got to understand what we got on the inside. Hallelujah. Because if we don't understand what we got on the inside, then we won't understand how it is that we need to fight this battle. And see, many people go out and we figure, oh, I'm going to fight this one. I'm going to fight that one. When I get to that, I'm going to do it. No, God is saying, no, use what I put on the inside of you. This is what I put on the inside of you, and it's not anything carnal. He said, I want you to fight with what I've given you. He said, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Paul said, I'm going to pull down the strongholds. The strongholds, what am I talking about? He said, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Hallelujah. He said, every high thing, every imagination, I'm going to cast it down. Hallelujah. I'm pulling it down because, you know, he says, in every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, against what I know about what my God has put in me. Everything that I hear, everything that I know. And see, these people were believing a certain thing about Paul and believing a certain thing about the way the world should go and everything. And Paul knew different. He knew what God was saying. And whenever Paul heard something that was not like God, Paul began to use what God gave him. And Paul said, I'm pulling down strongholds. Many of us have strongholds that we have put up, and we won't believe. We don't want to believe certain things, and we just get to a place where, you know, we have made up our minds that this is the way it is. Strongholds. And Paul says, every imagination, casting down imaginations. Let me tell you something, what imaginations will do. Listen here. Your mind, if you allow your mind to go on and on and on with foolishness, then guess what? Your mind will begin to take over your body. Your body will begin to follow your mind. And you will be, you know, walking around like the songwriter said, it's just my imagination running away with me. my imagination was running away because, you know, it takes me to a place where I don't understand. It takes me to a place that I don't need to be. And sometimes we allow our imaginations to run away with us so long that it will build up a stronghold, and then we find ourselves behind a wall that we cannot get past. We cannot get past. But let me tell you something here. I got to let you know here. The Bible lets us know that when you see somebody who can't get past the wall, because you know there's a stronghold going on. You know that they have, and it's not their fault. They're trying. They want to do it. They want to get out of this thing. But the Bible tells us that the excellency of his power, hallelujah, if we know that God, hallelujah, can work in us and through us, and if God can do it, then we know that if we tell God about it, and if we understand that God is saying to us, just begin to pull down the stronghold. He said, pull him down. He said, cast him down. Hallelujah. And then not only did he say, cast them down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Let me tell you, you better get the knowledge of God. You better understand God's ways. You got to understand his ways. You got to understand what he's talking about. You need to understand God. Because if you don't have the knowledge of God, then you won't be able to tell what's live and what's memory. You won't be able to tell the difference. You will be imagining things like everybody else. But when you get the truth in you, and the truth begins to grow up in you, and begin to talk to you, and begin to tell you that everything is going to be all right, and the truth gets to moving in you and allowing you to move out some things in you, then you will begin to come to a place in your life where you begin to know a lie when you see one. You begin to understand a lie when you hear one. Hallelujah. Because the knowledge of God will begin to work against it. And then it goes on and says, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled.
My God.
And so he's saying, bring it into captivity. Every thought. That's where our fight is. Our fight is, you know, when you get up in the morning, sometimes your mind starts to go into, you know, imagining things. And, you know, you can be someplace and you're thinking people talking about you, and you're saying, oh, everybody talking about me. I don't know why everybody's talking about me. You know, and why everybody looking at me? What did I do? You know, and somebody just, you know, rubbed you the wrong way and a little bit, and your mind, you allow your imagination to just run away. And if you don't get to a place where you can know that what you have on the inside, because in your spirit, what God has placed inside of you will begin to tell you, that's a lie, that's a lie, that's a lie. No, she didn't mean that. That's a lie. He didn't say it like that. That's a lie. The knowledge that God has placed in you will allow you to know what is a lie. But if you don't have the knowledge of God inside of you, then what will happen is that you will begin to continue to imagine, and your imagination will run away with you, and you will build up strongholds, and you will be the one who is sitting somewhere in a hospital doing like this. And I ain't laughing at nobody, but I'm just saying, that's where you've been, blah, blah. Because you don't know. You didn't know, my God, the power. How many people are walking around and don't understand the power that we have on the inside of us? And that we don't have to take it. We don't have to go through these changes. All we got to do is stop it when we see it coming. We feel it. We know it. We know it because we feel it deep down inside of us. God has placed it in our heart. He has placed it in our hearts, and he's told us it's a lie, it's a lie. God is telling me right now that somebody needs to hear it. It's a lie. Oh, you've been believing something, and God said it's a lie. It's a lie. He said it's a lie.
My God.
So then we want to look at the earthen vessel. It's something that God would put something so valuable. The message of salvation in Jesus Christ in us. He entrusted us with something so valuable. And you may look at yourself and think, who am I? God, do you really trust me with this?
My God. My God.
We may get to a place where we feel like, God, I don't know if I can live up to this, God, because you were really entrusting me with this, God. And sometimes we will focus too much on who we are and what we have done and how we have acted. But how many of us know that God, he didn't even look at us that way. When God saw us, he sent his only begotten son to die for those sinners in the world. When we were yet in sin, Christ died for us. So even while we were in sin, Christ died for us. And so God is not looking at you and all the things that you have done. If he was, then guess what? You wouldn't be a candidate for salvation.
My God. My God.
And God has placed this valuable treasure in this earthen vessel.
My God.
And Paul is looking at this thing. He called it a treasure. In this earthen vessel. Something special. How special is it to God that his only begotten son came down and he died for the sin of the world?
Well,
and God allowed him to do that. How special is that?
Amen.
And that when he died, he went down, but then he rose again from the dead.
Yes.
And he went and sat at the right hand of the Father. But then he sent the Holy Spirit back to us to live inside of us, to help us to live out this life, to help us to go forth in this life. So it doesn't matter what we look like, but it's what we're carrying. What are you carrying? See, sometimes people will make the mistake and turn away from a person that don't look like they're supposed to look, that you think they're supposed to look. They don't smell like, or they don't dress like. But it doesn't matter what you look like, or where you've been, or how you've been. God's saying, you might have made some mistakes in your life. But he's saying, I know that already. He says, I understand that. But I want to put something valuable in you in spite of. If we turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm going to close out with this. Because sometimes we'll look at people and the way their lives is going, and we look at all of that, and we think that this will tell us that God is moving or God is working in their lives. And you got to understand that that's not so true. The Bible says, chapter 4, we're going to look at verse 7 again. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side. This is what Paul's saying about him and this other disciples, the apostles that was with them. We're troubled on every side. He said, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but we're not in despair.
Come on.
We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We've been cast down, but we're not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. Always bearing about, always remembering that what Jesus did for me on the cross, my sin was forgiven. Always bearing about in my body, always remembering that, what he has done. And if I can always remember that, then I'll understand that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in my body. So we're talking about what God can do in a vessel. Hallelujah. An earthen vessel. And each one of you here today is an earthen vessel. And God, if you have taken Jesus as your Savior, he has placed something wonderful in you. Some of us have been walking around feeling like we are nobody, feeling like we can do nothing. But God is saying that's a lie.
Amen.
You better know it. It's a lie. 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 You have something powerful inside of you, and he is waiting to begin to move and to get out of you and to be able to, you know, to show the world who God is. And you know, he wants us to stop walking around like we're not somebody. We are somebody, but we're somebody in Christ, because we're not going to boast about it. But when we really understand what God has done, when we really understand and we get the knowledge of God, when we get that down, when we get that in our spirits, we will understand and we will be able to see what our God can do in us and through us. I'm going to read this. It says, in March 1995, the New England Pipe Cleaning Company of Watertown, Connecticut, was digging 25 feet beneath the street of Revere, Massachusetts, in order to clean a clogged 10-inch sewer line. In addition to the usual materials one might expect to find in a clogged sewer line, the three-man team found 61 rings, vintage coins, eyeglasses, and silverware, all of which they were allowed to keep. Whether it's pipes,
come on now,
or people, if you put up with some mess, sometimes you find real treasure. Whether it's pipes or people, if you put up with some mess, sometimes you'll find real treasure. I thank God for putting up with my mess. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. For while I was yet in my sins, you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for me.
My God.
And now, God, you have trusted me with this ministry. That says he trusts me to do what's right with
Amen.
This ministry.
Amen.
God trusts me that I got to go out and tell somebody that the only way to eternal life is Jesus Christ. Let us all stand in the presence of the Lord.